Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 8th. I'm Ray Graff. You ever just want to get out of Dodge? Get away for a couple, maybe go to Dodge? Well, we have a travel planner today with us to answer your travel questions. A fall getaway, perhaps, a holiday vacation. Jean Gagnon is back to offer her advice and expertise to help make your trip enjoyable and safe. Jean is the president of Plaza Travel Center in Latham and has more than 45 years of experience in the travel industry. If you have a question, our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Fall train rides, holiday vacations, Jean Gagnon, and your travel questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If you're about to take off on a vacation or just starting to look at possible destinations, this is the show for you because we are joined by Jean Gagnon, a 45-year veteran of the travel industry. Jean is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business currently celebrating its 50th anniversary. Jean has traveled extensively throughout the world. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Jean specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. Always great to have her on the show. If you have a travel question, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Jean Gagnon, welcome back.
Hello, Ray. Nice to see you again.
I understand you're packing your bags and getting ready to head out.
Yes, I am.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Morocco.
Oh, nice. When does that happen?
I'm leaving on October 17th.
Any special occasion or just going for fun?
No. I'm taking a small group there.
Oh, great.
And it's very, very exciting. It's an exotic destination.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, because I have not been there before, some of the best food in the entire world.
That is what I am told.
Yes. People forget that there was it was a French colony. So it has both that French cuisine influence, the whole Mediterranean thing, Northern Africa. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
So you're just going for the food?
Basically, that's why I travel. Right?
That's a good reason to travel. What else will you be doing there?
Well, we'll be doing a lot of sightseeing. We're also going to be spending 2 nights in the Sahara Desert.
Now, why would you want to do that?
Well, first of all, I am not like a camper or something like
that's the impression I got.
Well, it was a correct impression. But this particular tent community has oriental carpets on the floor and has running water in the individual tents.
Yeah.
And I guess the stars are just really, really
incredible.
Yeah,
that's not camping, by the way.
I know. I think they call it glamping now.
You'll be
like
having
that.
A good time there.
Yeah,
so that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, you know, holiday travel coming up, it's nice out now, but soon it'll be winter. And I know you have some tips for holiday travel. And I mean, one of them is plan ahead, right?
One of them is, you know, you should have done it 8 months ago, unfortunately.
Who does that?
Well, they have to. They have to because other people do.
Yeah.
So seats are sold out. And because the initial seats are sold out, then the next fare is higher and higher and higher. It's like it's supply and demand,
right,
basically. So that's a very popular time to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to end up paying more, especially the later you book. And even though there's certain flexibility, like let's say Christmas is on a Wednesday. Yes, you could leave on a Tuesday. You could leave on the Monday before, but so can everybody else.
Right.
Everybody has that same 2 weeks parameter.
Mm-hmm.
So even though people think they can be flexible, especially if they want to go to a warm weather destination, they're going to pay probably at least twice as much as they would pay on non-holiday travel.
This is for airline travel.
Airline travel.
What if you take the train?
even the train, I'll tell you, if you just want a seat on the train, then it's fairly reasonable. But if you want a bedroom or a roomette or something like that, it's not inexpensive. It really isn't.
Uh-oh.
And of course, there's driving, you know, there's nothing wrong with driving. But again, like if you're coming back from somewhere the Sunday after Thanksgiving, it's one of the most heavily traveled days. You know, you'll want to leave early, give yourself enough time.
You know, that's a good way to travel, though, I think, driving. If you're coming from a warm weather destination and you're driving back, it gives you that period of time to acclimate to the cold weather. If you get off a plane, if you come from Palm Beach and then you get off the plane in Albany, it can be a bit of a shock.
Yes, but I think of it as I'm in the warm weather a longer period of time.
Well, you make a point. You're
making me dread driving back there because I know what's waiting for me when I get home.
Do you ever do any motor travel?
Not as much because I have the opportunity to fly, so yeah. I usually do that.
And trains are out for you?
No, I love trains.
Yeah.
I love trains, but again, my time is usually pretty limited. And for train travel, you know, maybe someday when I retire.
And but you mentioned there is still time if you need to make that holiday.
If you really have to, just be aware that you're not going to have the most convenient flight and you're going to be paying more than probably the guy sitting next to you who booked it 6 months ago.
I don't understand that now. And by the way, our number, if you have a travel question, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. I don't understand why the seat being the same seat and the same material and the same lack of leg space is so much cheaper 6 months in advance. Isn't that highway robbery?
No, it really isn't. It's marketing. And it's what really happens is if you took the real cost of a flight and divided it by how many people were in the plane,
right,
it would not be $99 per person. So the people who book first get it for the $99, and they're being subsidized by the people who are booking later. So instead of paying just an average price, you know, they have some that are cheaper and they have some that are more. You're being rewarded for booking earlier and you're paying a penalty for booking later. It's like you could go to a Springsteen concert and pay $1,000 more for a seat than the guy next to you who won the lottery for the tickets.
Yeah.
So they're seeing the same concert. They're sitting in the same seat.
No, I don't think so. Why don't they? They know that the flight will be fully booked. It's the holiday season. Why can't the average price be the same? They know all those seats will be taken. This is a logical fallacy.
Yeah. Well, it's marketing. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I wish it would because believe me, it would make it a lot easier for me. But it started many, many years ago when there was only one price for an airline ticket. And then they came out with a family plan because the average price for an airline ticket, a family couldn't afford.
Right.
Because they would say, well, I'm going to drive to Washington instead of flying because I can't afford $500 a seat. So they said, well, we'll come up with a family plan where the first adult will pay $500, the second adult maybe pays 50%, and the children will maybe pay 30%.
Right.
So that's what started discounting. And from there, it just went crazy.
All right, let's take a call or two before our first break. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon, our guest. Ted in Shelburne, Vermont. Ted, you're first.
Yes, thank you very much. I actually am going to Greece. I haven't been there lately, but I'm sort of celebrating the 60th anniversary of ending up on a Greek island. A long time ago.
What island? What island, Ted?
Well, I landed on Mykonos in 1959 and got lucky with people I met, but it's hardly a Greek island anymore. Recently, I heard they were short on parking for private jets at the airport. There were essentially no motor vehicles when I was there. So that's different. And then, actually, Sifnos is my destination this time.
Oh, I honeymooned. Ted, I actually spent some time in Sifnos.
Isn't that quite a place?
Oh, it's lovely. When we were there years ago, you couldn't even fly there. You could only take the ferry, but there is an airport there now.
Well, there is still no airport except for an occasional emergency or wealthy helicopter. I just wondered partly because I will be almost 80 when I get there and a little more than 80 years old when I come back. Are there any particular And I do have the tickets, as I said. Any particular help I might get if I need it or something in terms of airport? I'll be getting to Logan and going on Swiss Air.
If you're super ambulatory, then you probably don't have to worry about it. But you can always request wheelchair or gait assistance just to save your legs.
Yeah, I don't
need
that. It's partly technical, I guess. I don't have an iPhone, but I will be equipped. I just wondered if there were any particular changes or differences in Athens in the last 5 years or so.
Well, the airport, it was totally moved. It used to be over on the west coast, so now it's more inland. But no, the most important thing I would think for you is that make sure that you're traveling with travel insurance.
Because I have that, actually.
Perfect. Yep. And with your travel insurance should have come a contact number that you can call. Most travel insurance, and a lot of people don't know about this, they automatically include a 24-hour travel assistance.
Ah. Yeah, I'm going to check. Like, I haven't totally explored, but it's the last Monday in this month, 20 days away, that I'm departing.
Okay, so as long as you have some, are you going to have some kind of cell phone with you? It doesn't have to be an iPhone,
no,
but you're going to have...
I will just depend on others for that.
Okay. I love that, by the way. That's old school. That's the way to go.
Well,
I mean, unless I really should get something, but it would be a different one for there. I've met someone who had an only Greek cell phone to take when she was on an island.
Well, yeah. Well, you can also rent them. They're not expensive. They actually ship you the phone and the charger. And the price of it includes shipping it back.
How do you really? Okay.
Yes, yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Yeah,
send it back. Oh, that's interesting.
So it might be helpful, and I'll explain to you why. If there's an airline problem, okay,
right,
and you're stuck at an airport, it's sometimes, you know, waiting in line to try to find out what's going on or if you can be
that's
rerouted.
That's what I thought about.
If you have a cell phone, you can then call either whoever you bought the airline ticket from, or you can call the travel insurance emergency helpline and get faster assistance. Because if a flight is canceled and they're trying to reroute people, there's a limited supply of those other available seats. So it's important to get to it right away.
Is there a source for that phone that's easy on the internet or a travel agent?
I think you can go online and research it. One particular company I've used in the past is called, I believe it's called Sell Hire.
Okay.
Sell Higher. Check them out.
Buy lower, sell higher?
Yeah. So I think that would be very, very handy for you to have.
All right, Ted, we have to take a break, but good luck. Enjoy your trip. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gene Gagnon is here. It's Travel Today. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551, the number. It's Travel Today on the program, and Gene Gagnon is here. And Gene, two emails and then back to the phones. This one is from Mike. Mike says, I'm planning to take my family of six to Morocco to see my brother, who is there on an international teaching position for Christmas of next year, 2020. Do you have tips or suggestions on how I can reduce the airline cost, fly into Europe and then fly to Morocco separately, for instance?
I would actually have to, you know, check the dates because everything is date dependent.
Pretty far in advance, though.
When is he going? What
Christmas was 2020.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, yes, he can start checking 330 days prior. That's about 11 months.
Okay.
Okay, you can't do it any earlier than that. Yes, there are ways.
Why? He can,
because this is very interesting. In this day and age, you'd think the airlines would have improved upon this. But the airlines do not use a year when you're looking at availability in their system.
Why?
Because, so for example, if you look at October 15th, it can only be October 15th of this year. So they can only load it as far as the following year. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I just want to know why the heck that would be in this day and age.
Well, I don't think they knew that this day and age was coming, or they, I don't know. I don't know, but they only load their schedules about 11 months ahead of time.
So check in late January and start
cooking.
Check in late
January, but also check what we call consolidators. They are people who operate, they buy bulk seats and then sell them for a different price. There are some consolidators that are good. There are some that are bad, so you got to do your research or go to a very trusted travel advisor, but that's the best way to do it.
For a family of six.
For a family of six, yeah, I would think that would be the best way.
This one is from Elizabeth and Troy. Next year, autumn, I plan to return to Paris to make the photographs that I didn't do so well at a few years ago. Santa Carne is a superb Argentinian restaurant, which I hope so much to go back to, but it's difficult eating alone. How might anyone find someone with whom to share dinner out? Any other tips for the agile agent. I like that. That's from Elizabeth and Troy.
Well, I'll tell you how I usually meet people. And if I'm staying in an establishment that does have a bar or a lounge, not that you have to
that
go
works
there
for
and
me.
Start drinking.
Absolutely.
You can go there or at breakfast, okay?
When go to the bar for breakfast?
No. It's just another alternative.
Oh, I see.
So where you're staying, if it has a continental breakfast or, you know, that's included, and you go down to breakfast and you see somebody sitting alone, say hello. Ask where they're from. And you might make a new friend that is also traveling alone, and then you can go to dinner with them.
Okay.
Or say, listen, I'm traveling alone too. By the way, I've been here before. I know of this great restaurant. Would you be interested in going?
Very nice. All right, well, thank you for that email. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is here, and let's see, over to Germantown. Amy, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Gene, thank you so much for your help on our trip to Portugal.
Oh.
It was great. All your suggestions are wonderful. I have a question about Iceland, but before I ask my question, just a little tip for Morocco. If you're going to be in the desert, make sure you bring a good headscarf and some either eye wash or eye drops, cleansing eye drops, because the sand there is extremely fine. And if you get a dust storm, it can be very irritating to your eyes and your respiratory system, which can kind of make your trip not so great.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I've already told the people to make sure we bring scarves just because if they want to cover up more, so we can also use those scarves there.
And
that's
it's colder than
idea.
You think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm already packing I'm packing my fleece.
Good. My husband and I want to go to Iceland. He's a geologist. And I'm not really sure what time of year would be the best to go or how many days we would need.
Okay, well, you can go for as short as 4 days, and you can obviously go for as long as 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, now, what time of year? It depends upon really why you're going. So if you're going there, you want to explore the glaciers and the waterfalls and the fjords and things like that, then nicer weather would be better. If you're trying to see the northern lights, then you really have to go when it's darkest, which is unfortunately in the winter when the weather is also the coldest and windiest and rainiest, etc.
And do they get a great deal of snow?
It's not the snow so much as the cold and the wind and the rain.
Okay. Right, but you could see rocks.
Oh, yes, you could definitely see rocks. You could definitely
No.
And they don't get a lot of snow, of course, unless you're looking at the higher elevations. So you could definitely go, for example, in late March. It's still fairly dark. September's a good time because it starts to get darker there, and there's a chance you might see the northern lights, and yet the weather isn't as bad yet. But as far as how much time, it's really as much time as you can afford to go, because I always tell people, since you're paying an airfare to get there anyway, always try to go for as long as possible, because your airfare is the same pretty much whether you go for 4 days or you go for 14 days. But you can do
that. Is there any place besides Reykjavik that is a kind of, you got to go there?
Oh, yes. You got to do the whole Golden Circle, which is the waterfalls and Gilfoss. And yeah, definitely. And in Reykjavik, you do have to do the Blue Lagoon. There are a couple of nice museums. But out in the, out past the Golden Circle, we've got some great glaciers, some beautiful valleys, some old settlement towns. There's quite a bit you can do, and it's one of the few places where I actually recommend doing a self-drive. There's so many places. Yeah, there's so many places like in Europe that I go, oh, it's such a nightmare and don't do it and the parking is horrible. But when people go to Iceland and we do a self-drive, they actually get a little laptop when they pick up their car with an itinerary where the hotels are pre-confirmed along the route. But then you just travel on your own from one place to the other and go to the different sites that are recommended. It's a great place to go for that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll call you another day and you can plan the rest of the trip for me.
Oh, thanks, thank you, Amy. Okay, bye-bye.
What side of the road do you drive on in Iceland?
The right-hand side.
So like here?
Correct.
Very nice. Yes. Okay. Steve in Saugerty. Steve.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Gene. I got a question regarding comfort pets. And as you're flying, as somebody who's not flying with the pet, but as a fellow passenger, are there any rights or do you have any... I guess, say in how close you are to these animals, if you're allergic, et cetera.
Oh, it's such
a pretty disastrous flight.
Oh, I'm telling you, this has become a real issue. And some airlines are becoming much more restrictive. They're saying that the comfort animal has to be either a dog, cat, you know, something like that, or it has to be in a kennel. Because I know somebody who was actually... in an airplane seat, and they couldn't put their feet under the seat in front of them because the comfort pet had crawled under there.
Oh, no.
So they were definitely inconvenienced.
Was it a snake or something?
No, but it was just the fact that they didn't want to put their feet on the dog.
Right.
So they had to, like, fold their feet up. It's uncomfortable as it is in coach. So really check the airline's policy. You can actually go online and look up traveling with animals and see what they're allowing. Even though you're not traveling with them, that'll give you an idea of what they're allowing. But we're having the same issues with severe allergies to, like, things like peanuts or shellfish. Right. There are people who, if somebody was in a room that was cooking shrimp, for example, they could have a severe reaction. And there are many international flights where they're actually cooking food in first class, and that can actually waft back and bother people. So the whole allergy thing is really becoming an issue on all flights.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for that one,
thank
Steve.
You.
Appreciate the call. I don't like to fly, right? And I haven't flown in 17, 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I'm so glad that you're monitoring this show.
Well, what do you want? I do a doctor show too. What do you think? Going to surgery? The question I have for you is, are there a lot of these comfort animals on the planes now?
More and more and more.
When did that start?
Oh, I'd say within the last couple of years at least. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And I don't recall anyone on a flight that I ever took being concerned about the smell of shrimp being cooked because of allergies.
It's an issue.
Really?
It is an actual issue. And I was very surprised last time I was down in Newark Airport. You know, they've redone a lot of it. The amount of comfort rooms for animals that there were.
Comfort rooms?
Yeah, yeah.
For
so
animals.
I went in one. I wanted to see what it was. And what it was, like sort of like an AstroTurf floor.
Yeah.
And then in one area, there was a sink.
Yeah.
And in another area.
For the animal.
Sink. Well, in case somebody had to wash up. No, in case somebody wanted to wash after they were doing whatever they were doing with their pet. I mean, they're really becoming, there's a lot of them out there.
Has society gone mad?
I will not judge that.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. 800-348-2551. Renee in Campbell Hall. Renee, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My husband and I used to do a lot of cruising around. However, he is of considerable age and also now has Parkinson's. So I would like for us to go on a trip, but I also don't want to get saddled with having to do all of the schlepping, which could be quite a lot if you're going on a 14-day cruise. So you have to first fly from New York over to Europe and then from there get onto the boat. Is there any way that any authority or any kind of a system that you know of that I can hook into that would make it easier for me to travel with my husband?
Yeah, what you would want to do, you would want to go on a group tour that included the cruise. Okay. So, for example, there are groups that leave from Albany. There are some senior groups. There are, you know, different organizations have groups. You know, different travel agencies have groups where they include the transportation. Let's say you get on a bus from Albany to Kennedy. You know, so you're already with people. You get to Kennedy, they transport the bags into the airport. Upon arrival, you're met, you're immediately transported. So you're not doing that part of it on your own. You know, that to me would be the best thing for you to hook into. And they have them. Some of them have them with tours and some of them have them with cruises. I can think of several off the top of my head. So check with your local travel advisor if they can recommend a good tour that's inclusive of the airfare, inclusive of all the transfers, and that leaves locally from, you know, not too far from where you are.
Okay. With that being said, I don't think we have any travel agencies in my little town here. Go on the internet, and I don't want the internet.
No. You still want an actual person that you can talk to, and there are good travel agents. You know, like for example, I've got clients that call me from California.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can call anyone. You know, ask your friends, do they use
a travel agent?
Who do they use? But you don't want to use the internet. You actually want to hook up with you know, a good local agent. Yeah.
Okay.
Where's Campbell Hall exactly? Or what's it near?
It's by Middletown.
Okay, so yeah,
plenty of places down there.
Yeah, there are good agencies downstate. Absolutely, there's lots of them. Just ask around, ask your friends.
Okay, hey Renee, thanks for the call. Gene Gagnon is our guest today. 800-348-2551. It's Travel Today on the program, and we jump over to New Lebanon, New York. And Bob, hello, Bob.
Hello.
You're
hello.
On.
Hello.
How you
How
doing?
Are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
So I am headed to Buenos Aires in February.
Yes.
And I'm interested in a good and safe neighborhood to stay in.
Well, there's the mansion area. Anywhere downtown, if it's very central downtown, is also a good area. You know what you do, and I can't do it right now, but look up where the Four Seasons is, okay, in Buenos Aires. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
That's more your speed,
not going to stay there.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Not going to stay there. But in that area, look at what hotels are in that area, okay, not too far from that area. And that will be a good area to stay in. Also, the center downtown area is good. And make sure you go see a tango show while you're there.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is there a particular neighborhood or club that we should be looking at to do that?
Oh, you know, I can't remember the actual names of any of the actual clubs. But you know what you do? Go on TripAdvisor and put in Buenos Aires Tango, and at least you'll be able to read some reviews. Just take them all with a grain of salt. Always take the reviews with a grain of salt. Throw out the best, throw out the worst, and pick one in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I guess you can always ask the concierge.
Absolutely. Concierge of any decent hotel. You know, they want to keep you happy.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. You know, Gene Gagnon, you always go for those ritzy hotels, Four Seasons.
No. Not to stay.
No?
I look at the location.
I mean, but you... What's the most opulent hotel you ever stayed at?
Oh, my gosh. Probably that one I told you about when I was here last time, that all-inclusive one on the beach in Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. No. The most opulent?
Yeah.
I'd say it was probably I stayed at an Intercontinental Hotel in London many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And there was actually a Saudi prince.
Really?
In the bar. Yeah, I wanted to meet him, but no such luck.
No, you ever stay at a Motel 6?
Yes, absolutely.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Travel Today. We'll grab one more before our next break. Charles in Schenectady. Charles, you're on.
Yes, I just want to make a comment on the cell phone usage in my situation, I think, in Italy.
Yeah.
I have an iPhone, I went to the Verizon store because I'm serviced by Verizon, and they did some programming on my phone, which meant that once I landed in Milan, I just had to punch a couple of things on the phone. I forget exactly what it was because it was a few years ago. And I had a phone in Italy, which was no problem.
Yes, so it can be that.
Go ahead.
It can be that easy, you know, if you got the right phone.
Yes, well, any cell phone provider, you know, be it AT&T or be it Verizon, they offer international coverage at different levels. You can pay one price and have full coverage. You can pay another price and just be allowed to text. You always have to check with your individual provider. But for someone who doesn't use, the gentleman who called earlier
did not have a
cell phone, you can actually rent them.
He could bring a ham radio with him, right? All right, Charles, we've got to take a break here. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Gene Gagnon is here, and we are taking your travel calls, and we'll be back. Fox Pop, Gene Gagnon, our guest. Travel today. Yeah, you know, speaking of opulent hotels, you ever stay at the old Schrafts? Oh, over by exit 23, we had a Schrafts and had a Motor Inn. Oh,
I wasn't
fantastic.
Born and raised here.
Oh, they had mints in the little jar as you went to pay.
I remember the Huck Finn on Route 20.
Huck Finn?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
It was over like where Stuyvesant Plaza was, because I remember I would be driving from Syracuse to Albany and on Route 20. And the signs for the Huck Finn Motel would start right outside of Syracuse.
Yes.
Yeah, every 20 miles.
I was only kidding. Schrafts was not that.
It was not that great.
Not very
I'm glad I didn't say I stayed there.
No. What about the Comac Motor Inn? But that's another story in another show. This is from Karen. Can you tell me anything about Anna Maria Island? Thinking of going there this winter with my husband, son, and his family and renting an Airbnb house. We also thought of Fisher Island, but that seems harder to get to with baby grandson, plane, car, ferry, etc. So, Anna Maria Island.
Okay. I don't know a lot about Anna Maria Island because it's mainly a residential island.
No.
Okay. That's why there's not a lot of hotels there. There are a couple of smaller motels. And if you go there, yes, you probably will have to either rent something from VRBO or Airbnb.
Okay.
But it's a lovely, lovely island, mainly residential.
This is on the Gulf of Mexico?
It is on the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah. And it's very, very pretty. Just be real careful with your Airbnb. You know, some people have gotten burned.
In what way?
Oh, the pictures were not really representative of what they ended up getting.
That old ploy, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So just be careful.
Do your vetting.
Yes, exactly.
This one's from Emma. My father's disabled due to a massive stroke and uses a wheelchair and mechanical lift for transfers from bed to chair. Could you recommend a fully handicap accessible cruise or another all-inclusive destination for him, his personal aid, and my mother? And that's from Emma.
Okay. That's one of the hardest problems we have is fully handicapped accessible when we get out of the United States and North America. Within the United States, you could try the Riverboat Company, Delta Queen, mm-hmm. American Steamboat Company, because at least within the United States, you have to have, because of the Disabilities Act,
right. We
do have to have accessibility. Once you're thinking about going outside of the country, it is a lot more difficult because you're talking about buildings that are hundreds and hundreds of years old,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the Disability Act. However, that being said, I actually did have a client who was wheelchair bound with a big electric wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
And that actually needed lifts and things like that. And we did a whole trip to Italy for them. It's difficult because even, you know, like, for example, a hotel could be on the ground floor, but they might have one of those little stone lips to get into the building.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to do a lot of research. It can be done. And there are actual companies that specialize in wheelchair travel. So go online and research wheelchair accessible travel.
What is the American Steamboat Company?
It's a riverboat cruise that goes up and down the Mississippi.
Oh, all the way?
Yeah. Well, you know, pretty far. You can do a long one. You can do a short one.
Fantastic.
Three nights out of New Orleans, or you could do seven nights, St. Louis to New Orleans, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Is there gambling on it?
I I'm trying to remember. I think in certain areas there's gambling allowed.
I always wanted to be a riverboat gambler.
Oh,
this would be
I
my
think
chance
you would be perfect.
To do this.
You would
right.
be perfect.
You and I will do some business on this. Let's go to Roz in Clifton Park. Roz.
Hi. Thanks a lot. That's a great program.
Well, thank you.
My question is about charter. In the 90s, I took my son to Germany, and we flew Swiss Air to Zurich and then to Basel, and then we took a train to our destination in Freiburg. But we flew on a charter flight as sort of people that piggybacked onto that flight. A friend of mine told us how to do it, but I can't remember how we did it.
Yeah, they don't really exist anymore, Roz. I know exactly what you're talking about because I was in the business then, and we did have charters. That was the low cost way to get to places. But with total deregulation and with the advent of all these low fare airlines like Ryanair within Europe or Norwegian Air leaving from the U.S., it's not really necessary. I mean, if you want a really dirt cheap flight, you can find it. If you just want to get from A to B and you don't care about paying $5 for a bottle of water or...
Do you have to stay in the comfort animal room? Or...
I actually have a cartoon that shows the oxygen falling down and saying it will only be $15 to activate the oxygen. But if you really just want to get there dirt cheap, there are enough options now that you can do it. And not even always a low-cost carrier. I just checked somebody to go to Barcelona in April. Out of New York, nonstop on American Airlines, it was $450 round trip.
Tremendous.
I think that's a deal.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just have to keep looking for.
You have to keep looking, and you have
like
to be
that.
Flexible. Yeah, flexibility is
right.
key.
All right, Roz, thank you so much for the call. You know, getting back to our earlier discussion about prices of airlines and my complaints about them, even though I rarely fly. Yeah, are there ever any last minute cancellations where you can really get a deal?
No.
All right. Next caller. And we go to Kathy in Pittsfield. Kathy, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am wondering, I'm newly single, and instead of moping at home for Christmas, I was thinking about hopping on a plane and going somewhere warm.
Nice.
Is that a thing, like an all-inclusive, do they stay open for Christmas, that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And an all-inclusive would actually be a fun place to go as a single, because you don't have to worry so much about making dinner reservations and where should I go. You just get in the elevator and go downstairs and pick one of several places.
I just want to be warm on a beach with
a
book.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I went, last time I was on, I was telling Ray about a new all-inclusive in Cabo San Lucas, and I was actually technically alone. My family didn't travel with me. It was more like a business travel, and I felt very, very comfortable. I had no problem going into the restaurants or for the entertainment at night. Lots of other people traveling alone. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, you could still do it. You're getting late to travel for Christmas, so you're going to pay more.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You're very, very late. We recommend people plan Christmas warm getaways like 10 months ahead of time. You can still do it, but your budget will have to be a little bit higher because you're booking like so close to departure.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the first time I've heard I'm late.
You got the right attitude.
I'll get on it.
That's right.
Enjoy yourself, Kathy. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel is our guest today. Let's go to another Gene. Gene in upstate New York, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My daughter is going to be starting a two-year fellowship, a postdoctoral fellowship in Exeter, England. So my husband and I will be traveling across the pond for the first time. Just looking for general recommendations about time of year to go, train versus car rental, any other particular things for first-time travelers to England and wherever else we might venture from there.
Okay. Yeah, well, definitely to me, the best time of year is usually like April, early May, okay. or September, because I purposely don't want to travel when everybody else is there. And that's pretty much June, July, and August. Yeah, it's really very, very crowded that time of year. Personally, I think taking the trains, especially when you're in the southern part of England, it's so easy to get from Bath to Oxford to London to, you know, all over. Very, very easy to take the trains. And driving there is so difficult because, first of all, you're on the left-hand side of the road, which means if you get a manual car, you're now shifting with your left hand as opposed to shifting with your right
hand.
Takes
some practice.
Yeah, takes some practice. And it's just, we have more problems with people coming back that have rented cars, either a minor fender bender or traffic tickets or, you know, it's just, so take the train. Take the train. Base yourself maybe near your daughter and take day trips from there. But definitely include London either at the beginning or the end of a trip. I'd recommend the beginning because you have to fly in there usually anyway. So stay there 3 or 4 nights, then go see your daughter, do day trips from there, then go back to London or continue to Manchester or Scotland. Yeah, great country. You'll have a wonderful time. I'm jealous.
Oh, Jean, thanks for the call. You know, speaking of traffic tickets in Europe. Buddy of mine, his family went to Germany over the summer. They had a wonderful time. And a little while ago, he said, you know, in the land of the lax traffic speed limits, he got a ticket.
Yes.
What do you do? I told him, hey, just blow it off. What are they, Interpol going to come and get you?
Well, I don't know. I think when you're actually renting the car, okay, you're signing a contract.
Yeah.
And it, within that contract, it says that any traffic infractions that may occur while you have the rental car, you promise to pay. And they have your credit card number. So most of the time, I get the call from the clients, not that they got a ticket, but that they got a charge on their credit card. And what was it for? And it turns out it was either for a ticket or something, that using a camera. And then not only do you have to pay the fine, but because they had to contact, because the police had to contact the car rental company to do the research to find out who it was, you're going to have to pay a surcharge to the car rental company as well.
But here's the thing. He didn't know until he was on back in the neighborhood that he even had a ticket. This is very ripe for scamming.
It is, but if they have a photograph of it, which they'll usually supply you with, you know, a red light camera or something like that, you know.
All right. So pay it. Basically.
I'm saying he's guilty.
Fine, Judge Jean. Let's go to John in Poughkeepsie.
Yes, hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling really in response to the woman who called in from Middletown, New York. She was looking for an organization in the Mid-Hudson Valley that provides some group tours.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just say that we have an organization called Adventures for Rascals.
Okay.
And we just so happen to be going to Europe a couple times a year.
Okay.
And we do bus ride down to the airport.
Okay, well, we're losing you there, John, and we really don't do advertisements, but the name of the company again is?
Adventures for Rascals.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, and we will take note of that. Our number is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Andy in Springfield. Andy, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
My wife and I have scheduled a 12 days in Greece in November, and you know, the first half is on the Aegean Peninsula, and then the second half is around the water. And we had we have a day in Mykonos and a day in Athens. And I was wondering about scheduling things like we had somebody told us about in Mykonos, instead of, you know, going to shops all day, we could go out to a place called Delos.
Yes, Delos is one of the most.
How difficult that was.
Okay.
Doing it on a not with our vendor.
Right, right. No, Delos is very, very easy to get to. There are ferries that go there. It's one of the most sacred ruins within the whole Greece, the island archipelago. So, and you can go out there with by ferry for half-day tours, for full-day tours. Very easy to do. You can just go down to the port and sign up for a tour. That's easy. In Athens, I would recommend doing a walking tour that culminates at the top of the Acropolis so you can see the Parthenon. Do that fairly early in the day. It's like a, you know, three-hour walking tour. You can set that up ahead of time or do it the day before when you get there. And then that afternoon, walk around the Plaka, which is sort of like the market area, an old area of Athens. And then that night, do the research to do a cooking class at a taverna. It is so much fun. And you get to meet some locals and you do this cooking class and drink wine and make your own dinner. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like fun. And English is not a problem?
No, they get so many Brits down there that a lot of the menus are actually bilingual. So
good. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Andy, thank you for the call. We go to Roger in Hudson. Roger, you're on.
Hey, hello, Gene. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Roger.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. We my wife and I do a lot of cruising. And most of the time, we either go through the cruise line or a travel agent. And I saw an ad the other day for last-minute cruises. And I'm wondering what your feelings are about these last-minute cruise deals. I mean, is it legitimate? Is it just for basic cabins? We usually have a little bit of an upgrade and have a balcony.
Right. Well, it really depends. Cruises are so interesting because years ago, the price they quoted was the price that you ultimately paid.
Yeah, that's great.
And things were reasonably priced once you got on board ship. But now what they've done to entice people to cruise, they'll advertise a $199 price. There'll be $200 or $300 worth of surcharges and taxes. Mm-hmm. Drinks are much more expensive than they used to be.
Wow.
A bingo card is $15.
Wow. There's bingo on those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
So you're going from like a $199 cruise, but then by the end of the cruise, you've paid twice that in extra amenities. So you really have to look at what is included, what are the costs of the other items. Sometimes there are very good last-minute prices. You just have to be aware of what the normal price is so that you can gauge whether it really is a deal or not.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Roger.
Thanks
for calling.
Roger. Have you ever been on one of those big, you see them on the TV ads all the time, these big cruise lines with they're about 15 stories high above the water.
You know, yes. And I have to tell you, I'm probably dating myself, but I remember sailing on the QE2 and sailing on the old Oceanic with the home lines. And you looked at that ship from the side and it looked like a beautiful ship.
Yeah.
It was not a big square box
that
happened to float. And I really lament. I really, really, really miss that whole thing.
You weren't on the Lusitania or anything. My question was, they're so high. There's so many stories. How far below the water do they go?
Oh, they go quite far below the water. That's where the staff and the storage and the kitchens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go almost equally as far under the water.
All right,
we
only have about 30 seconds here.
Oh,
Amy, you only have 15, 20 seconds to pose your question.
Okay, great. Hi. I am planning to go with my husband to Costa Rica. I finally got my passport.
Yeah.
And I am wondering, because I looked up prices for December 25th around there, because that's the only week we can go.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, it looks very expensive. I heard that if you were to do it, it should be this week to look it up.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions how to get inexpensive flights to there or maybe somewhere else.
Okay, in 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds, you're doing Christmas too late to get a good price.
Okay, Amy, I'm sorry. That way to rain on the parade.
I'm sorry, but it's true.
The facts are the facts. Thank you for being here. Support comes from Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 49 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Bergeron Electrical Services, for over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting,
generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net. Vermont Coffee Company. Organic coffee in the brown paper bag. Available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company. Coffee roasted for friends. At Myron Wine and Spirits, Kingston. Since 1960, a wine and spirit shop with thousands of imported and domestic wines and spirits and staff. For questions and advice, Myron Wine and Spirits on Facebook. Thanks again to Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel for being here. Tremendous calls. Thank you, my friends, for calling in. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Susie Chekai took the calls. Our producer, the affable Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we talk physical therapy. Stand by for The Book Show.